So hi, everybody. My name is Bree. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. And, you know, I usually come up here and I say that I'm struggling with grief. I've had quite a few people in my immediate circle pass away in the last handful of years. And I am finding a lot of victory in overcoming my grief. And so I'm very excited about that. But I am recognizing that I'm still struggling with worry and anxiety. So tonight we're doing lesson 20, which is daily inventory. And I got to tell you, you know, there's a lot of lessons and steps that we learn as we kind of go through the whole year, really. We start in September and we kind of wrap up in August and we start again. There's lots of great things that that we learn and that God teaches us in the process of CR, and whether you're in small group or you end up joining a step study and you really learn. One of the most transformative things that we learn in CR I have found is the most transformative is journaling. When we get, especially in step study, one of the lessons 1 week is about journaling, and the homework for that week is to actually journal every single day. And since my first step study, that was 3.5 years ago, I journal probably 6 to 7 days a week and have for the last 3.5 years. And it has transformed my growth and my healing. And so it is with really great pleasure that I get to teach this lesson tonight. So Principle 7 says, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. And step 10 tells us we continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. And the verse that goes with that is 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So we're here at lesson 20, which is principle 7, as I said, step 10. But in the beginning, all the way last September, we came out of our denial and we admitted that we needed help, that we were powerless to control our tendencies to do the wrong thing, and that our lives had become unmanageable. We then had a glimmer of hope, which gave us the sanity to start and to do the work to turn our lives and our wills over to the care and control of Jesus Christ. Then we began the long and sometimes very difficult process of working on our fearless spiritual inventory. If you're working your program, you found a sponsor, accountability partners, and your sponsor is like a coach that helps guide you and walk you through your inventory work. And once you've taken that time to search your past and our souls for possibly some really yucky stuff and some really painful stuff, and you've written it down, we take one of the bravest steps of all, and that's to admit all of that pain by speaking it out loud to God and to our sponsor. We then become ready to have God change us from the inside out. We gain victory over our fear and pain, which prepares us to make our amends to those that we've harmed. And I know for me, making my amends really was even a bigger step than doing my inventory, was really being humble and without a lot of excuses and a lot of complaining or explaining away my bad choices, the actions that I chose to do, and really just own them and to just humbly ask for forgiveness was amazingly powerful in my journey. We then are truly humbled to God's grace and forgiveness. And we are asked to not only extend that grace and forgiveness to others in our lives, but also to ourselves. We sometimes forget that we are owed grace and forgiveness too. Like, we're worth it. Not just the people that maybe we interact with, our family, our friends, our spouses, or whoever, that they've made mistakes and they feel bad, and so you give them grace and forgiveness. But what about you? Do you give yourself grace and forgiveness? And then it brings us to some of the kind of maintenance steps. And these are just as important as the early steps. So we did Crossroads 2 weeks ago, which is really a tee up for tonight. Daily inventory. So what is a daily inventory? Well, back in the regular inventory, principle 4, step 4, which says we openly examine and confess our faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. So that's the acknowledging and the writing of the inventory. And then in step 5, we admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human, the exact nature of our wrongs. And that's when we give our inventory to someone else. And that's really heavy lifting. And it's good that we do that. It's usually a one-time event, you know, when you're doing your, when you're reading your inventory. Sometimes you have to spread it out over a couple of meetings. But really, this step is about taking what you've learned earlier in the process and applying it on a more daily, ongoing basis. So it's really simple. We're asked to journal every day and keep an account of what's going on. It's pretty simple. So there's three, on your handout, you have three ways to do a step 10 inventory. So the first one, O, is ongoing. The second one, the D, is daily. And the third one is P, for periodic. So ongoing and daily might seem like they're kind of the same thing, but they are actually different. So ongoing means more like in the moment. So if you realize you're interacting with a person and you've done something that has hurt their feelings, offended them, what have you, it means that you don't wait to make your amends. You do it in the moment. One really good way to kind of learn how to do this better is just to learn self-awareness. It's to also learn how to read people's responses. If you're having a conversation with someone and you can start to read their body language, read their facial expressions, someone might be verbally complying with you, but their body language and their facial expressions are telling you something completely different. So, for example, I have 2 kids. My daughter is 9. And she thinks it's really funny that when she sneaks up behind you, she goes and she tries to, like, tickle you and scare you all at the same time. Now, some people actually do find this funny. Other people find it slightly annoying. Me, on the other hand, it's like a huge trigger for me. So as a child, my brother and my dad would tickle torture me. So they would tickle me until I would fall on the ground, and then they would sit on top of me and hold me down and tickle me until I literally had a complete temper tantrum. Crying fits of rage were the only ways to get them to stop tickling me. So needless to say, I don't like to be tickled. And even though I have repeatedly spoken to my daughter about this little funny behavior she thinks is cute, and about specifically why I don't like it, this one particular day, she forgot. And I think I was in the kitchen, and she came up behind me, and she tickle-startled me. And I lost it. I lost it. I totally snapped at her. I turned around, and I don't even know what I said, but it was not pleasant. And the look on that kid's face, the flashes of emotion over her face, first of shock at my response, and then actually of her, she remembered, and then she was so sad, and the pain and the fear then she then felt, and then the sorrow for me because she knew why I was responding that way. But you don't wait to the end of the day. You know, this would have been like 6 hours later, to be like, hey, babe, you know, earlier, 6 hours ago, I shouldn't have snapped at you. I'm really sorry. You do it right then. You go, oh, my gosh, babe, I am so sorry. I should not have responded that way. And it doesn't matter that it's a 9-year-old little girl or a 45-year-old coworker or whatever. You do it in the moment. That is ongoing. So daily is more like this, once a day. Daily means once a day. Ideally, you would journal and make your amends, you would journal about your day's events in the evening. So you've had the chance to kind of go through your day, your 14, 16 plus whatever hours it looks like. And at the end of the day, before you go to bed, you would journal, say, for 10 or 15 minutes. I don't sleep really well sometimes, but I also got in the habit of journaling in the morning. So what I do when I do my quiet time every morning is I journal about the prior day in the next morning. So today, I journaled about yesterday, for example. So that would be you have some time to reflect on kind of the ins and outs of the day and to own kind of the goods and bads. So what that would look like is something like this. So last Thursday, I was borrowing a friend's car, and I had my two kids and my daughter's friend in the car with me, and we pulled up to the Costco in Clackamas to get gas. And I stopped, I don't know, 3 feet behind the car in front of me, completely stopped. Turned around to get my purse in the back seat to get my Costco card and my debit card, and my purse got stuck, and I was talking with my son and joking around. Well, here I had inadvertently pulled my foot off of the brake, and I rolled into the back of the parked car in front of me. Now, I was going like 2 miles an hour. There was no damage done to the car I was driving. There was like 25, 50 bucks of damage to the car in front of me. She wasn't super gracious, but she wasn't horrible either. But let me tell you, I totally freaked out. Like, my response, my internal response to that event was so much more severe than the actual event itself. Like, hours later, I was still, like, over the edge. Like, could not get myself back on track after that event. So those are the kind of things when you would stop at the end of the day, or in this case, it was the morning after, and kind of, like, review the events. You've had time to process it. What happened? You know, did I say something that I should have not said to the person I hit? I mean, I thought I was gracious about it, but maybe I wasn't. Or why was my response so, my internal response so severe? What were the triggers? Like, what have I not dealt with that made that seemingly kind of inconsequential everyday life thing, oh well, I rolled into the back of another car, did less than 100 bucks of damage. Why was I so freaked out about it? Those are the kind of things that you can journal about in your daily inventory. And then the third thing, periodic, means every so often you set aside a block of time to really review the past period of time. So 3 months, 6 months, where you take time and you really look at this section in your life. So one time I was, I'm a big fan of therapy, so I was seeing a therapist, and she was like, hey, have you ever thought about kind of doing like a day quiet time? And I was like, no. She's like, oh, there's a monastery in McMinnville, and you can rent a room for the day or for the night, and it's a non-speaking, it's a quiet monastery, and they have food, and you can join the monks for meals, or not if you wish, and it's a great place to kind of get away from your life, and you can go do that. So some random, I think it might have been a Wednesday, some random day, I planned it about a month in advance, I just booked it on my calendar at work, I'm off this day, and I made an appointment with God, and I went to this monastery, and it was this beautiful drive, no phones, just Christian rock music, the windows down, and I drove out to McMinnville, and I spent the entire day reading over prayer cards and journaling and reading over my journal and just existed. I'm divorced, so I don't have my kids half the time, and I did this past April. I picked a Friday. Happened that it was Good Friday. I kind of didn't realize it at the time, and I just took a block of hours, like 3-4 hours. No phones, no music, no electronics, just me and the walls around my house. I think I might have fallen asleep on the couch a little bit. It's okay. The idea is to kind of process, and what does God speak to you about? Do you see patterns in your life? Do you see an unresolved issue, you know, that maybe because of other events you now see 3 months before? So those are the three different kinds of doing an inventory. So in a practical sense, what does that look like? So you're like, great, that's awesome, Bree. There's daily and ongoing and periodic. Okay, now what? So if you've not been through a step study and you've not done the actual homework of that lesson, here's some tips. You don't have an awful lot of space on your bulletin. So feel free to jot some notes down or just think about it. So the first thing that I like to do is always start off with something that you're grateful for. Thankfulness, gratefulness. What are you grateful for or thankful for? And then really the body of your journaling can be modeled after Galatians. You might want to write this verse down. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So you're going to journal about something that you're thankful for. You're going to think about, you know, were you loving? Were you peaceful? And so I'm going to read you just one of my beginnings of one of my journal entries. So I usually write the date. And so this was Thursday, June 4th. And then I start with a verse. I have a devotional I like. And so a lot of the verses I write down come from that devotional, but doesn't have to. This is one I really like. And I don't usually write down some of my favorite verses in my journal because I already have them on a stack of cards. But this day, it was appropriate. So I wrote down James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then I do my journaling. This is just my path, my journey. I write a love letter to Jesus every morning. And I started doing that because I didn't actually feel like I was in love with Jesus. And I wanted to be, so I just decided that I was going to start kind of going through the motions and that eventually I would feel it. And I do now, 3.5 years later. So I always start with, Dear Jesus, I thank you for the inner peace that you have given me. Although I have so far to go, I have made much progress because of you. At the same time, I do ask for forgiveness for all of my excessive worry and fear. And then, so I thanked him. And then in this case, I asked God to forgive me for my excessive worry and fear, and then I transform really quickly into a prayer. Please, I pray, take it all away. Fill me with an everlasting peace, a tranquility, a calmness, self-assuredness. Take this aching heart of wrong and provide calm, sustenance, and just revelation in this stressful time. Pardon me, relaxation in this stressful time. I pray for clarity, wisdom, patience, and that you use my big old brain to serve you through my job, my work, and the people I touch every day. But that's just me. Yours could look totally different. So when you go about your journaling, ask yourself these kind of questions based on Galatians 5, 22 to 23. How did I show love to others? Or did I act in an unloving way towards someone today? Did others see me, did others see me in the joy of having a personal relationship with Jesus? And if not, why? How was my serenity, my peace? Did anything happen that caused me to lose it? What was my part? Was I patient? And what caused me to lose my patience? Would anyone say that I was kind or good today? Did I act unkind? How was my faithfulness? Did I keep my word with everyone? And how about my gentleness and my self-control? Did I lose my temper? Did I speak harshly or was I unkind? You see, when we go through this every day, we can start to humbly live a daily life of rooted in reality and not denial. And through God's guidance, you can make choices about the emotions that affect your thinking and your actions. And we can start to take positive action in our lives, not always reacting to our lives. So through this process of journaling and doing a daily inventory, it helps us to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus and others. And we no longer seek to control others and their relationships because our goal is to be our goal is that our self is under God's control. So Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40 tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So you've started off with something that you're grateful for and thankful for. You've gone into recognizing that maybe there's someone or something that happened. Could be you need to ask God for forgiveness like I did that day because of my worry and my anxiety. But maybe there is something or someone that you need to make your amends to. And then I like to journal about answered prayers. I think that's really important. When I first came to CR four years ago, I was separated from my now ex-husband, then husband, for the second and final time. And those of you, the couple of you are here, were in small group with me. And I, first of all, prayed every day for God to reconcile our relationship. And I didn't want to get divorced. And the quantity of anger and pain and shame and embarrassment and unworthiness that I felt, I mean, it was the grief of the loss of this marriage was so great that I was in physical pain every day. And I would come to small group, and I was not very gracious, let's just say, for a very long time through my step study. And so I wanted to reconcile the relationship, and yet I was still in so much pain. And I will tell you, 3.5 years later, my circumstances have not changed. I am divorced. I got divorced when my son was 2 and my daughter was 6. But God answered my prayers. He's reconciled our relationship. We're just not married. We are amazing co-parents to those kids. Those kids have 2 parents that love them something fierce, that work together as a team, that partner together and know what's and talk about what's good and bad, and is that the right thing, and should we push her more, and is he okay? And so my circumstances are not any different than they were 3.5 years ago when the judge stamped that divorce decree. But my prayers were answered. God wants to know that you realize that. He wants to know that you've seen the blessings that he's given you. And they may not be always what you wanted, but they're usually what you need. And then I like to always pray for somebody else. Because sometimes it can be all me, 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 me. Whether it's I screwed up and will you forgive me? It's all about me. And I always like to pray for other people. In fact, I'm still fairly raging codependent, so most of my journaling is about other people and the prayers I have for them, but I always like to end on praying for somebody else. And one of the things that when I was getting divorced, I did a lot of reading, and someone told me to take a little index card and put it on the mirror in the bathroom, so when you get ready in the morning, you see it, and when you get ready for bed at night, you see it. And so I really like this verse. It's from Ephesians. There's a couple of verses, chapter 4. And chapter 4 and 5 particularly are pretty awesome if you want to do some reading. This little section is called Living as Children of Light. And it's Ephesians 4, if you want to write this down. And it's verses 22 to 24. And it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what that tells me is every morning I can be made new. And so I encourage you, journal. It'll change your life. Thank you, everybody.